today I've entitled the message, Elisha Takes Up the Mantle.
Amen.
Elisha takes up the mantle. I just want to slightly back up, just to the end, just to the separation of Elijah and Elisha. So we're looking at 2 Kings, chapter 2, and we'll start just reading from verse 8. And it says there, and Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters. And they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And began to sort of just revisit that sort of part of his request. And I began to think about double portions. And I was reminded that in the Old Testament, the firstborn always received a double portion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so here we find that Elijah, he's picked up Elisha, and Elisha is like his firstborn as a prophet. And so he's asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit.
Amen.
Now, in the natural, it will be a double portion of the father's wealth and everything. So, but Elijah has been asked by Elisha for a double portion of his spirit. And we read there as we go on in verse 10, he says, you ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. So the thing is there, he's asking for this double portion. You know, it may be that he's feeling somewhat inadequate to stand in the shoes of Elijah, the prophet to the nations, which is what he was, not just to the children of Israel and to the children of Judah, to the tribes, but actually to the nations. And so here Elisha is beginning to come to that point where he's going to stand in his footsteps, he's going to stand in his shoes, and he's going to be serving the God Almighty, the creator of all things. And so he's wanting a double portion. He's wanting to live up to his master's reputation. He's wanting to live up, and he's wanting to serve him to his fullness. And he's wanting to match his master's ability. And he's feeling somewhat inadequate. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, you've heard the stories. We've gone through the seven miracles that Elijah performed. And obviously, Elisha didn't see them all, but he would have heard the stories. And he'd seen some of them, and it's like, wow, you know, I'm stepping into a big situation. I'm stepping into a challenging role. And knowing the opposition also that Elijah had, so Elisha is fully going to expect similar opposition. So he thinks he wants, and he's asking for this double portion.
Amen.
And so Elijah says to him, well, if you see me go, well, let it be unto you. And so we find here that this is sort of the Old Testament principles of double portion, and he's seeking for a spiritual double portion. But today, the church, the ecclesia, the church members, the bride of Christ, the firstborn of Christ is the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're the firstborn. Amen.
Yeah.
And being the firstborn, let's request a double portion.
Yeah.
Praise God. Let us request a double portion.
Amen.
Spiritually. You know, it reminds me that Jesus said to his disciples, greater works shall you do in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we always, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, you can't expect that to be happening like that, because Jesus was perfect, and Jesus was that, he was the Son of God, and how can you expect to do greater than him? But if we take the principles of the Word of God, if we take the principles, one from the type and shadow of the Old Testament, and then we bring into the New Testament, that we are the firstborn.
Yeah.
And so being the firstborn, it is a standard of a double portion. Mm-hmm. And so that double portion given to the church should be that the bride of Christ should become powerful, should become mighty, and should be doing signs, wonders, and miracles greater than, to a greater degree than what the Lord Jesus did, because we are then multiplied and increased. And so I just want to encourage you that begin to realize that this thing of double portion, and this, the word tells us that the former rain and the latter rain, there shall be the outpouring of the Amen. Spirit coming together. And there shall be a flood, a move, a mighty move of God. Because if you remember, also the Word of God says, when the enemy comes in,
yeah.
like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And so then the Spirit of God is flooding through, is pressing back the attacks of the enemy,
yeah.
like Elijah was being attacked by Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And yet he stood on his own, and he stood against them, and God came in like a flood. He burnt up all the sacrifice, he took all the water, he took the stones, he took everything that was in sight that Elijah had offered. As you know, today, the church needs to come to that point. The ecclesia, the church members, the bride of Christ, the firstborn of the church of Jesus Christ, needs to be realizing that he has a promise of a double portion,
okay.
that he can rise up and know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to a double portion. Glory to God. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed far more abundantly, all that we can ever ask or receive and understand, shall we say. He wants to see us being blessed with an abundance, not to keep it to ourselves, but that we might use it to touch lives. You know, like yesterday, this lady came in. It was such a joy. And we were just rehearsing afterwards to ourselves that the Lord said he'd bring them in.
Yeah.
They'd come knocking on our door.
Yeah.
You know, the doors were open and she came in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're believing, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, light that building up to be a beam of light and a place of sanctuary, of healing, deliverance, and a place that brings freedom and life. And signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, hold it up to your praise and to your glory. Lord, that which was dead, bring life. Like it was, you know, can these bones live? Lord, can this church begin to bring new life? Lord, let it live. Thou knowest, Lord, was this word. Thou knowest, Lord. And you know, the Lord knows. And the Lord has a plan and a purpose. We just need to fit in with it and begin to move forward. So first of all, let us begin to live like firstborns. Hallelujah. Not slaves, but firstborns in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. And let the firstborns of Christ arise. We're not second-class citizens. You know, people have looked at us and in the past have said, oh, you Christians, you know, you're second-class citizens. You're needing support. You're resting. You're looking for things to support you. No, we're not. We're looking for things that will empower us. Hallelujah. We're not here to be leaning on God. We're here to live in the presence of God. And if God is our all in all, and God is filling us to full and overflowing. And so we're living in the firstborn generation. We're the firstborn from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Glory to God. And Christ came. And now we're the firstborns from the cross. Jesus has set us free. He's given us new life. And so we need to live with that authority. And so we need to spiritually take hold of that firstborn authority that has been given to us, that double portion in Christ, to give him the praise and glory, that we act as God's authority on the earth, that we deal with the enemy, like the situation with David. We began to pray and we told the devil, you've been caught stealing, we've had your hands in the pot and you will repay. You know, we have to stand and take our authority. Now people think,
yeah.
well, you're nuts. praying, you know, praying against the devil. No, we're not. Jesus spoke against the devil. Jesus dealt with demonic forces. And it says that at the cross, he crushed his head. And you know, it says that we're to crush his head. He might bruise our heel sometimes, but you know, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Turn to Hebrews, or write down Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12 and verse 22, and it says this: "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels," verse 23, "to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn." Hallelujah. Yeah. We're the church of the firstborn. You see, it's written in Hebrews. It says, which is written in heaven. It says it's written in heaven. Glory to God.
Yeah.
"And to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." We are called sons of God.
Okay.
We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the promise that we have. These are the things that we have to step into, and we have to look for them, as Elisha was looking for the happening of taking that chariot, that whirlwind, that fire that would come and take his master away. And you know, I should have thought about things, but you know, there's the fire. God has always been showing himself in fire. There was the situation with Moses. And then when the children of Israel went through the desert on the night time, there was always fire. God's presence was always there with them. Elijah, the fire that consumed the offerings. The very presence of God. When the baptism of the first baptism of the Holy Spirit, God showed the sign that it was him who was doing it. And it wasn't the devil, because the fire was upon them. Hallelujah. And it is the fire of God today that wants to set captives free. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, the power of the blood of Jesus will set the captives free. And you know, we find it, well, let's go back into 2 Kings and verse chapter 2 and verse 11. And it says there, "Then it came about as they were walking, talking together, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them." You see, that fire is a separating fire.
Yeah.
And it came down and it separated between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father." What's he saying there? As he cries out, "My father, my father," this is just basically a term of respect for the person, for his authority, and for his position of his life. And he's honoring his father, Elijah, as he's taken up and he cries, "My father, my father." He's honoring him. He's giving praise to him for the work that he's done. He's giving thanks, in one sense, to God for him. And he says, "And he saw him no more," he says, "and then he took all of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces." You know, this there is a symbol in the tearing of the clothes. It's a symbol of mourning. He's mourning for the loss of his spiritual father. He's mourning for the loss of the prophet to the nations. And he's in that circumstance right now that they're separated. And so at that point, it is symbolic again in the Old Testament, but a time of mourning that they would tear their clothes. And he's distraught in one sense. I would imagine he's in a very emotional time. But then he says, then he bends down and he takes up the mantle. The anointing, the position that God has called him to be in. And he takes that on board and he begins to praise God, and he just takes that mantle and he lays hold of it. And as he does that, is now, to, as he takes that mantle up, he's actually taking upon himself a new role. Mm-hmm. He's no longer the servant to the prophet.
Yeah.
He is now the prophet to the nations.
Amen.
He's the voice. He's the mouth of God to the nations. As you know, church, today, we need to be a voice of God.
Amen.
To the nations.
Yeah.
That is our position. That is our calling. That we would be the voice of the Lord to the nations. God wants you to be his voice. God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to speak his word. God wants you to be that voice to the nation, to the people around you, to the situation that seeks to attack you. God wants you to be that voice. Jesus gave us the power. He gave us the authority. All power and authority is given to us in Matthew in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He gives it to us. And so we have to take upon ourselves that new role. Just remember that. There is a role that each and every one of us has to take, and it is in that authority of Christ Jesus. It is under that anointing of Christ Jesus, and that it is a double portion. So don't shrink back from this. We feel inadequate at times. But if we walk together in this, we will lift one another up. We will strengthen one another up. We will stand side by side one another, and we will move forward in great victory. And that is the key. You see, the devil wants to separate. The devil wants to bring us apart. You know, this disease, God did not bring this disease over the nations.
Yeah.
It's demonic. It's come from the pit.
Mm-hmm.
The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life.
Yeah.
And you see, by trying to keep us in lockdown, the devil's trying to separate us.
Yeah.
But it takes more than a lockdown to separate the body of Christ. It takes more than that, because, you know, by the Spirit of God, we can speak to one another. By the Spirit of God, we can minister to one another. We can pray for one another. The Spirit will give us utterance. The Spirit will talk to us about circumstances and situations. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. And so we can rejoice that God is able to do great and mighty things. And as we realize it, it says, the type of clothing that Elijah wore actually symbolized his authority. It symbolized his power. It showed them that he was the voice of God to the nation. It showed them he was the prophet of God to the nations. Because as soon as they saw what he was dressed in, because if you remember, Ahab said, what was he dressed like?
Mm-hmm.
What are we dressed like? What are we dressed like?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Are we dressed like the men and women of God, filled with an anointing that people look at and say, I can see what you're dressed in.
Mm-hmm.
They can see the armor. They can see the anointing. They can see the power. How are you dressed? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where we've got to come to. You know, we stop playing church, but let's be the anointed. Let's be the ones that will take this thing by the throat and bring it to its knees.
Amen.
Let's put our foot on the neck of the devil and, you know, stop him in Jesus' name. Let's have that authority. You know, we're looking at the Old Testament, and under this Old Testament, we live under a New Testament, which is an even better covenant. It's
Amen.
A double portion covenant relationship that we have. And, you know, if you remember, they knew that John, they looked at John the Baptist, and the clothing that John wore was that similar to the prophet Elijah.
Yeah.
So when they saw John, they thought, wow, is this Elijah? Who is it? Who is this man? You see, they recognized the prophetic, well, I'm going to say uniform for want of a better word, but it was that prophetic anointing that was there. You know, he's the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, the wilderness is over.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer voices in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
but we are the voice over the nations.
Amen.
This is what we should be, the voice over the nations. We're not crying in no wilderness. The fields are white unto harvest, Jesus said.
Yeah.
There's no wilderness. It is a white field. It is ready for reaping. It is ready for harvest, but the laborers are few.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're going to pray, Lord, bring in the reapers. Lord, bring in those angelic beings to assist us to reap in, to bring in life and to bring new life in Christ Jesus, and to keep it and sustain it and to equip it and fill it with the power of the Spirit of God. And that is where we need to be coming to as a church in Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And when I don't mean just us, but I mean nationally and internationally, the church needs to move its goalposts. The church
yeah.
needs to move its focus back onto the Christ, back onto the Word, and let the Word set us free.
Amen.
He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And so God has given to us the power and authority in that precious name of Jesus. If you remember, as I said, how do we know? It was when Obadiah from King Ahab was looking for
Elijah.
He found him, if you remember, in 1 Kings 18 and 12. And he said, I'm here. He says, I found you. Great. He says, go and tell the king to come. And Obadiah says to him, no, you've done this before. You've suddenly just disappeared. God just catches you up and takes you somewhere else, and it's like, he'll have my neck for this. He says, no, I don't. He says, I'll promise you, I'll stay here. You know, he was caught up in the spirit. This wasn't the first time that Elijah had been transported by the Spirit of God.
Well,
and let's remind you, it happened in the New Testament.
Yeah.
When Philip, yeah, go on, John, keep preaching it, John. When Philip was there with the eunuch, and he said, when he'd done the work with the eunuch, then all of a sudden he's caught up and taken somewhere else.
Yeah.
Let's be caught up. Let's be caught up with the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Let's be caught up with the work of God in such a way that God says, I need you to be somewhere else. Yeah, but I'll drive, Lord. No, I need you faster than that.
No,
and he can take you somewhere. It's like, oh, what about my car, Lord? I'll get that waiter for you. You know, I don't know how it would happen, but can you imagine? Can you understand?
Mm.
We must not limit the Spirit of God.
Mm.
We must not limit the Spirit by our intellect. We must not limit the power of God by our doubts and unbelief. We must stand in faith, knowing that God can do far more than we can ask, think or believe, and he can go beyond our understanding. And so God wants to do a great work, hallelujah, and do something mighty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he's not doing it on his own. He's going to do it through the church. Praise his wonderful name. And so Philip was caught up, Acts 8 and verse 39 and verse 40. You know, he's baptized this eunuch, and then the next thing, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's caught up by the Spirit and taken on somewhere else. And so, it was in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Today we live in the New Testament world.
Amen.
I know of a lady who was, she was following a man in a car, two ladies in America. They were going to a meeting, this English missionary, and she was going to a meeting, and they were busy chatting on the freeway, and all of a sudden they looked up and realized that the car that they were following was no longer there. It either turned off and they'd not seen it turn off, or it had accelerated away and they'd not followed it. They were that busy talking. So they pulled over on the side of the freeway and began to pray. And they started, and they were praying and worshipping God in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, they opened their eyes because they sensed something. And the car that they were in was in the church car park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I read this missionary's story of the work and the things that God had done. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I would love to meet this person. Her name is Isabel Chapman. And within 10 days, our pastor at the church says, would you like a missionary for your youth meeting? It's a lady. And she's from, I think she was in the Philippines at the time. And I'm like, never. And I said, who is it? So he told me her name, Isabel Chapman. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Talk about answered prayer. You know, and I said, yes, definitely. And I'll tell you what, it was a joy to meet her. And I just, you know, even in the small things,
mm.
I just needed to make contact. I just needed to, you know, speak to that person and see God moving in such a way, because I was and still am so hungry for God to move in this dimension with us and with others, that the glory of the kingdom of God shall be seen and his presence will be made manifest amongst the nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants to do. The nations shall surrender their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe it's for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Amen.
The royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on, let's do it in Jesus' name. And so I was excited that, you know, I just prayed this prayer, and a few days later God brings straight to the door. I didn't have to go looking for this person. God just brought them to us. Hallelujah.
Mm.
God is bringing people in.
Yes.
He's going to bring them into Flintwood.
Amen.
He's going to bring them into harvest fields.
Yeah.
God is bringing them in.
Yeah.
The fields are white unto harvest. Let us be ready.
Amen.
And verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 2, it says there, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he struck the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I like this. He's not suddenly saying, where's the God of Elisha? He's like, oh, I'll use Elijah's name. You know, it's Elijah's God. It's got to be from his side, you know. He's not quite yet got the confidence. Although he's got the mantle, he's seen him go. The promise was he was going to get that double anointing, but he's not quite sure. Well, it's all right to be not quite sure, but he's stepping out in boldness, because the other side of the River Jordan, and the River Jordan's not all that wide, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood on one side, and there's 50-odd prophets stood on the other side watching what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stands there and says, he took the mantle of Elijah, and he struck the waters and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And as he also had struck the waters, they were divided there, here and there, and Elisha crossed over.
Wow.
Hallelujah. He crossed over into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He crossed over into ministry. He took up the mantle, he took up the challenge, and he took up the promises of God, and he began the ministry that God had appointed him to, that God had called him into through the prophet Elijah. And today, let us take up the mantle. Let us take up the mantle of the Spirit of God. Let us begin to move forward. Let us begin to press in. Let us begin to rejoice. And let us begin to declare the word of the Lord with boldness and with no doubt, without any fear. And let us press in and declare the word of the Lord and begin to see life set free. Let us break the hold of the devil over captives. Let us part the waters. Let us bring a separation between darkness and light. Let us bring a separation between sin and bring them into a place of redemption in Jesus Christ. That is what we're here to do.
Amen.
We're called to bring a separation. The Spirit is like, and the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. Let that sword be in your mouth, and let it be a separator. Let it be a divider. Let it be the thing that brings life into others. Cut off the death.
Amen.
And bring to birth new life in them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so Elijah then moves across, and you know, these guys are still not sure whether Elijah's dead yet. And they're saying, you know, we ought to go look for him. And Elisha's saying, no, he's gone. He's gone. God is not changing his mind. God is not double-minded. He's taken him. He's gone. And they insist, and they insist, until in the end they bombard him. So he says, okay, go and send somebody to look for him. So they go, 50 of them go, and they go in different directions looking for him. Because they said, well, perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain. Well, I suppose they had a right to say that, because historically, at times, that is what had happened. He'd suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord would come and pick him up and put him somewhere on top of a mountain. He'd be waiting. So they knew it was possible. So they thought, well, maybe that's what happened. We'll go and look for him. And they sought for him, it says, 3 days. And they couldn't find him. And so they came back. In verse 16, it says, and he said, and they said to him, behold, Now there are with you servants, 50 strong men. Please let us go search for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on a mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send, he says initially. But in the end, he says, okay, go and do it. And so finally, in verse 17, they urge him, and until he was ashamed, it says, he said, send. And they sent 50, therefore 50, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. Hallelujah. The tomb's empty.
Amen.
3 days. That's another symbol, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
3 days of looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
The tomb's empty.
Amen.
There's nobody. We have in the New Testament, 3 days. The tomb's empty. There's nobody. He's risen to his Father, ascended. Elijah had gone up. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise his wonderful name. God is faithful to his promise. And we see the work of the Lord moving and stirring the people of God.
Amen.
You know, just reminded in that we have here in this part of this story, we have the transference of the anointing of Elijah onto Elisha by the mantle. If you remember, Paul encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, and he encourages him to remember to stir up the gifts that were given to him by the laying on of hands, by the anointing of the laying on of hands. The principles are running through from Old Testament to New Testament. The anointing is being passed on, and the anointing should be increasing in us. And so God is ministering to us. And so Paul speaks to Timothy and encourages him, stir these gifts up. Stir them up. And today the church needs to stir up the gifts of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Quit singing so much and start speaking in tongues. And let that anointing of the Spirit stir your spiritual being.
Amen.
You know, there's so much singing at times that all we're stirring is our emotional being. We're stirring up the soulish man. There's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But don't make the soulish man the predominant part of our three-part body. Spirit,
yes.
Soul, and body. That's how the Bible declares it. Spirit,
amen.
Soul, body. Don't let the soulish man become the soul, spirit, or the soul, body, and spirit. Don't reverse it into that. That's not the way God called it. God called it spirit, soul, and body. And so the priority is that we feed the spiritual man. And then the spiritual man will govern the soulish man that would at times seek to fall into sin, that is easily tempted by sin. And so the spiritual man is strong. And then together with the three-part, they are three-part core, is strong in
mm-hmm.
Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to take hold of our spiritual giftings and stir them up to use our spiritual giftings for the glory of God. And it is so important that the church catches all of this. It needs a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It needs a fresh anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon it. You know, I've spoken to many people who are believers and yet have little knowledge of the Word of God, have little knowledge of the things of the Spirit, have little knowledge of the moving of the hand of God, and never felt the touch of his hand upon their lives. I tell you what, if your father had never handled you, if your father had never picked you up, if your father had never got hold of you and hugged you, there'd be something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you today that Heavenly Father wants to pick us up. He wants to take hold of us. He wants to hug us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to actually to hear his breath.
Amen.
In our lives. The breath of the Father. But in the beginning in Genesis, the breath of the Father
mm-hmm.
breathed life into Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The breath of the Spirit. And we need today in the church, you know, people are getting saved. They need the breath of the Spirit of God. Not just hands raised up and saying, I want to
mm-hmm.
take Jesus in my life. I was talking yesterday to a young man and people were saying to me, he wants to give his life to Christ. And I thought, he's not ready. So I explained to him again what it meant. I said, it means turning away from your sin. It means doing a complete U-turn. It means separating yourself from that lifestyle. It means a total change of lifestyle. It means following Jesus 100%. It means putting Jesus in the driving seat, letting him be the Lord of your life and the director, and let him lead you into his eternal life. And after a few minutes, he said, "I'm not yet ready for that." And I thought, "No, you're not." Because people are pushing, make a decision, make a decision. Yeah. I don't want decisions.
They need to come.
I want to see transformations. That's what we want.
Yeah.
A transformed life.
Yeah.
Not a decision, because decisions can be changed. But a transformation. A butterfly never goes back to a chrysalis.
No.
Once it's taken that form from that caterpillar to a chrysalis to a butterfly, that butterfly will always be a butterfly until it dies.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's not that it didn't make a decision to become a butterfly. It was transformed into that butterfly. And today we need transformations into eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Verse 15 says, verse 15 through to 18. And we've read part of it already, but in verse 18 it says, and they returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and they said to him, did I say to you, do not go? We're in chapter 2 and verse 18. Do not go. Then these men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, now the situation in this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." Now, he was in Jericho, and it sounds like he's still in Jericho. And suddenly they're saying, "But the water's bad and the land is unfruitful." But do you know why the water was bad and why the land was unfruitful? Because when Joshua took Jericho, he put a curse on it.
Yeah.
He put a curse on it. And so that land was cursed. The water had been cursed. And when we continue to read, it says, and now this is the second miracle in verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "You know, behold, the situation's bad. The water's bad. The land is unfruitful." And he said to me, "Bring me a new jar." Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, I'm a new creation.
Amen.
I'm a new jar.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Hallelujah.
I am.
Let's be the new jars. And Lord, bring in some new jars.
Amen.
And you know, he took that new jar, it says, and he put salt in it. The Bible teaches in the New Testament, Jesus says, "You are the salt. You are the salt."
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Don't lose your flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You're the light. You know, be the light. You're the salt of the earth. Come on, you're the salt. And so he puts this salt in. Can you see the parallels that we're bringing in today? And so he then brought it. Then he brought it. They brought it to him, and he went out to the spring of water, and threw salt in it, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from their death or unfruitfulness any longer." Grace and I have been to Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
We've passed through Jericho. And I tell you what, they grow some fantastic fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the curse is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And over you and I, the curse has been broken.
Yeah.
Praise God. We are called, we are anointed, we are appointed. Now let us live in that calling. Let us live in that anointing. Let us live as we are living unto Christ in his mighty name. And if you want to look that scripture up in Joshua for later, it's Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, where Joshua cursed that area. But it's now being broken. Today in Christ, God takes the unclean things in this world, and he puts them into new vessels. Hallelujah. Have you been put into a new vessel? Hallelujah. We were once unclean. We were filthy rags. We were sinful. We were a disgrace to humanity, and yet God took all of us and made us a new vessel. He put us on that potter's wheel. He shaped us, he's molding us, and he's bringing us into his very presence. He's forming us into his very image, the image of God. And there is no more that the world can hold over us. There's no more death. You know, we've got God through Jesus Christ placed in us eternal life in Christ Jesus. The curse of Adam over our lives has now been broken. Hallelujah. So, you know, the salt, the spirit, the word of God has set us free from the curse of Adam. He set us free from death and disease, and he's brought us into eternal life. We've been redeemed and been given a new lifestyle. We've been given a purpose. We've been given a future. All of this has been purchased for us through the cross. Hallelujah. What a fantastic time that we should be having and rejoicing in Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 23, he says, then he, Elisha, went up from there to Bethel. What does Bethel mean? The house of God. So from that point, he then goes on to the house of God. And as he was going, by the way, young lads came out of the city and mocked him. And said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Now, he's probably only in his early 30s. And he's already bald. Bless him. Premature baldness. And they were mocking him and cursing him. Now, I sort of dug into this a little bit. Because, what's all this about? And as I looked and dug, I discovered that what this word in the Hebrew means, young lads, young men, what it really means is that these were being idol worshippers of Baal. And they were mocking him. These people weren't just young men of the city. They were antagonizing. They were the antagonists of Baal. They were picketing him. They were a crowd that was out to sort of cause him injury, and they wanted to pull him down, so they were mocking him. They'd heard what Elijah had done in the past, and they're basically mocking him and showing contempt to the God of Elijah, but also to the God of Elisha at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that, you know, this is what was going on. And so Elisha was a little bit upset. And he turned on them. And he said in verse 24, and when he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. He says, then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. Wow.
Yeah.
Judgment begins. And the word says judgment begins at the house of God. God is a judging God. You know, and if we are a people that are walking in truth and in righteousness and in the presence of the word of God and in the power of the Spirit, then we know that God will judge us righteously and we shall receive a great reward. But for those that do not walk in that way, there shall be some form of punishment, and it will be eternal separation from God. And those that decry God, those that decry Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God will punish. The word here shows us that, you know, God will only take so much, and there comes a time when God will bring to bear the responsibility of their actions upon them. So then we read on from there in verse 25. So then he went up there from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria.
Mm.
He'd gone up to the mountain of God.
Mm.
He'd gone into the presence of God. Notice this. His life was a life where he's constantly seeking the will, the presence of God. to be where God wants him to be in the presence of God. And this is all, this is just begun. This is the beginning of his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But Elisha has taken up the mantle mm-hmm. of Elijah, and already he has begun to do the work of God
mm.
in the nations.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you realize that, you know, God has called you. God has appointed you the double portion of his Spirit to rest upon you, the presence of God to be in you, the power of God to be over you, and the word of God to be a powerful thing, and that you will be people of God that will begin to prophesy, that you will be a people of God that will see things in the realm of the Spirit that people have never seen before.
Yeah.
Because God is calling us to see into the spiritual realm. Because what is going on in the spiritual realm is far more important than what is going on in the physical realm. Because it is the spiritual realm where we shall rule and reign for his praise and for his glory. The spiritual realm will rule over, because that's what it's called to. Spirit, soul and body. The spiritual realm is that which is to rule and reign for his praise and for his glory. Take up the mantle.
Amen.
Take up the calling. Take it up with vigor. Take it up with fire. Take it up with passion. And reach out for the glory of God and see the kingdom of God. See souls being won. See lives being changed. See signs, wonders and miracles. And as we said earlier, greater works shall ye do, because we're on a double portion. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you, everybody.